You are listening to Juno Afternoon. It is so good to have all of you here with us today. I'm Rhonda McBride. Well, tomorrow night, look to the skies. Hopefully they will be clear enough so you can see what's called a superflower blood moon. And that's going to be followed this week by a full eclipse that will look larger than normal, probably the most spectacular full moon of the year. Well, to explain all the science behind this, we turn to Juno's own Marie Drake Planetarium, where Steve Kosis is a dedicated volunteer. Now, I know, Steve, it is frustrating to have all these big celestial events happen, and we never know for sure if the weather is going to permit us to see them. Are you keeping your eye on the weather closely?
Well, I'm just a persistent observer. This is Steve Kosis. I'm a board member of the Marie Drake Planetarium. Let me just mention weather. The last interesting celestial event was the conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter. And the closest approach was 10 minutes of arc, about a third of the diameter of the full moon, on December 21st. And during that period, it was very, very cloudy. But I went out every night. And December 21st, around 10 p.m., the clouds parted for me, and I saw the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction when it was at its best. So no matter how bad the weather is, there's always a chance that it may clear up.
So you're ever hopeful. But let's say, for example, that the weather doesn't clear up. Do you have some other options to maybe watch it online or some other things you might recommend to some of us?
Yeah, the timeanddate.com is doing a live stream of this lunar eclipse, which is, for our time, is going to happen early Wednesday morning. The partial eclipse will start around 1 a.m. Wednesday morning, May 26th. And the moon will actually set when it's still in eclipse. So max eclipse, when the moon is totally in the Earth's umbra, the darkest part of the shadow, will be from around 3:11 a.m. to 3:25 a.m. Wednesday morning. So I'll be up.
I think we can count on that. So what is this super flower blood moon? This is the opening act for the eclipse?
Well, these are slang terms. The super moon, which is a slang term, I think it's been around for about 5 years. The moon does not have a circular orbit around the Earth. It has an elliptical orbit. So at times it's closer and other times further away. So this full moon, May 26th, the moon will be at its closest approach to the Earth. It's called perigee, and it'll be about 10% larger than usual. So the average size of the full moon is about half a degree of arc, 30 minutes. So this full moon, the moon will be about 33 minutes of arc. So just to say what that's like, if you hold your arm out at arm's length, your index finger is a degree of arc. So the moon's like half of your index finger at arm's length. That's the actual size of the moon in the sky. So that's what the supermoon means, that the moon is in an elliptical orbit and is closer to the Earth.
So
the other part...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the flower part has to do that this lunar eclipse is part of a series of four eclipses. This lunar eclipse is going to be followed by an annular solar eclipse, June 10th. And two other lunar eclipses. So it's a four, a tetrad. So that's kind of the flower petals. That's where that. And the blood moon is another term. What the blood moon is that when you have a total lunar eclipse during totality, the sun's rays go through the Earth's atmosphere and the blues and the violets and indigos are filtered out. They're the short wavelength. So the long wavelength light rays, the reds and the oranges, don't get filtered out. It's called, the physics term for it is Rayleigh scattering. So it's like a billion sunsets all at once, and it gives the moon a reddish, copperish color, orange color. That's where the blood moon. So there's blood moon, the super moon, and the flower moon. They're all kind of slang, but it has to do with this particular eclipse. It's going to be closer than normal, and we'll be seeing also this eclipse. The moon's very close to the edge of the umbra, the edge of the Earth's shadow. So we'll be getting more light coming through the Earth's atmosphere. So it'll be kind of a light red color.
So is this back-to-back of a super blood moon followed by a full eclipse? Is that all unusual?
Not necessarily. There's typically The last time we saw a total lunar eclipse here in Juno was about 2 years ago, but that's because you just see it in different places of the Earth's surface. So typically there's like two lunar eclipses a year and typically around one or two total solar eclipses a year. So new moon, there'll be an annular eclipse of the sun, but it won't be visible here.
So where do you go to watch these celestial events if the weather permits?
If the weather permits, okay, that's the preface for Juno. Well, this particular lunar eclipse, it occurs in the early morning and it's going to be very low on the horizon. The moon will actually be setting in eclipse. So when the partial eclipse starts, the moon will be around 10 degrees above the horizon, which if you hold your fist out at arm's length, that's about 10 degrees. So you have to position yourself somewhere here in Juno where you can see 10 degrees above the horizon. So to answer the question, where would that be? Two locations that would satisfy that would be North Douglas and out at the Airport Dyke Trail, or also out at the Glacier Visitor Center if you go up the little ramp there. So I gave away the three locations where it's visible. So
we might see you out there at one of those locations. So while we have you here, what's coming up at the Marie Drake Planetarium? I know that with COVID, you've kind of been operating in a more small scale way.
Well, we haven't been really operating other than our YouTube channel. We purchased a brand new projector a year ago through donations, Rasmussen and the Blackwell and Core Alaska. And we did four public shows with our new projector. We're very pleased with the new projector. Then, like all the other nonprofit groups, we had to shut down. So possibly this fall, we'll start doing public shows again with our new projector. And our shows are all free, astronomy education for the public. So this fall, we don't have a date yet. We'll probably start doing our shows again with our new projector.
So what about your Earth Day videos? I know that the last time you were on Juno Afternoon, you and your wife were encouraging people to submit videos to celebrate Earth Days. Did you get a lot of response from that?
Yeah, Christina, my wife, she's the president of the board for the planetarium. She's putting that together. So we'll put those on the YouTube channel when we have them in a suitable format. So, we're still working on that. We haven't published them yet on our YouTube channel.
So did you get quite a few people that sent in their videos?
We got around eight. So we're working on those.
Okay. Well, that's great. Well, before we go, is there anything else you want to let us know about coming up with a planetarium?
Well, just that keep posted. Like I said, we'll probably start doing public shows again in the fall, and it'll be on our website, mariedrakeplanetarium.org, and our Facebook page, Marie Drake Planetarium, for when we start doing shows again. And our new projector is just fantastic. It's state of the art, and it's all digitized. So, and we're working on shows now. The system came with its own scripting language, so we can write programs. You push the button, and it'll run the whole show. But we'll always be doing interactive shows when we start going public again.
Well, thanks very much, Steve, for telling us about what to expect with this lunar eclipse that comes on early Wednesday morning. And
also, 3 in the morning is max eclipse, Wednesday morning.
I somehow don't think I'm going to be up to see that, but it's nice to know that you will and can report back to us if need be.
I'm a pensioner, so.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Steve Kosas.
Yeah, thanks, Rhonda.
With the Marie Drake Planetarium.